Telephone number 617-822-1969, #969. If you're calling from a Verizon wireless phone, it is a free call. Joining me in studio for the foreseeable future is our own Lisa Davis. Lisa, you normally hear Lisa on the health show, but Lisa and I got to talking a couple of weeks ago. And Lisa was telling me about her dad and telling me about her life. And I said to myself, here's another one of those character people that I like. I don't know why I like her. I just like her. She's smart. She's intelligent. She's witty. Then she told me about her husband and she's a mother and so forth and so on. So I said, well, let's talk about this on Father's Day. So first and foremost, I want you to wish your husband happy Father's Day on the air. Go ahead.
Happy Father's Day, honey. You're the best father ever. Well,
okay.
You're the second best father in the world.
Okay. Now we're talking to Michael in just a short time, your dad.
Yes.
But when you talk, because you've heard the tenor of the conversation, tell me about the qualities that your female friends, because I can get this from your perspective, your female friends, when they talk to you, when you'll say, well, this guy, because I know women talk, he's not right for you, whatever. but when they come down to that point and they marry guys, and you hear this a lot because you'd be very good at this, what are the qualities that you think most women look for in a man when it comes to fatherhood, Lisa?
I would think somebody who's very kind, and we've heard a lot of the callers I was listening on the way in. I mean, to me, that's one of the most important things is to be kind-hearted, to be open-minded, to be loving and caring and communicative, and, you know, also to be strong and supportive. I mean, there's just so many different things. I mean, I'm kind of odd because, you know, a lot of my friends are a little more picky about money or looks or this and that. Not to say my husband isn't handsome. This didn't come out right, did it? I'm getting myself in deep trouble. No.
Remember, divorce court doesn't start after this show, okay? You're staying where you are. Go ahead.
I mean, just in terms of, I really look for, and this is for me, just somebody has to be a good person. If they're prejudiced, forget about it. If they're homophobic, forget about it. If they're driven by money, forget about it. I want somebody who's real and kind and is going to teach my kids good values.
Mm-hmm. Now,
but that's me.
No. But that's important.
Yes.
Now, tell me about your dad as he was raising you. What were the qualities that you saw in him?
My dad was very devoted to teaching us, my brother and sister and I, all about being a good person, and that's where I got this from, and from my mom, too. You know, he was president of the school board, and in the 70s, he fought for men to get time off, you know, when their women were having birth.
Are you serious?
Oh, yeah.
In the 70s, he was talking
in
about
In the
that?
70s.
For men to have time off when their wives are going to have children.
Yep. He's very progressive.
That's real progressive thinking.
Very progressive. At one point, actually, because we're Jewish, my brother remembers this. The John Birch Society actually came to our house to threaten my dad because I guess he was doing too many things that were too liberal. And my dad said, no, this is what I believe. I'm going to keep doing it. Get off my lawn. You know, I mean, he just stood up for what he believed in. And he sang and acted, and he's an ophthalmologist, and he would help people. We were in San Jose, and there'd be, like, homeless people in the Santa Cruz Mountains that he would treat for free. And he just, you know, when we go to a restaurant, he's like, hello, Sue, how are you? I would like, you know, he always taught me to just talk to everybody. And I mean, I'm one of those people, I'm always making friends at the grocery store and everything. And I got that from him. Mm-hmm. And to recycle. Again, the 70s, big on recycling and, you know, stuff that...
Okay. I think we need to bring dear old dad to the conversation. I'm told that Michael is by phone. Michael, hello. How are you, sir?
Well, I hope you can hear me. Can you hear me?
I hear you clearly. Happy Father's Day to you.
Well, thank you so much.
Dad.
Thank you again, sweetheart.
Yeah, well, I just got to spend a week with my stepmom and my dad. They came up from Georgia, and my little girl adores them, and they adore her, and it was so nice. I wish they lived closer. I keep trying to get them to move here.
Dear old dad, tell me something about the metamorphosis of fatherhood over the last, I'd say, 30 to 40 years, in your opinion. You're an educator. You're a person that's seen the changes and so forth. What do you see, Michael?
Well, first, I do have feet of clay. When I was a young father and the kids were small, I was more interested in my career and in where I was going, and I didn't even know who I was. I think if I had been 10 years older, I would have been much better. But the thing that got me through is I let my wife change me.
See how smart you were?
I know. She offered opportunities, and I was smart enough after slight resistance to take them and learn to expand my consciousness and get involved with feelings, because up to then I'd been strictly a scientist, not a emotional person. And I became an emotional person, which, you know, listen to your kids. Of course, I was not the greatest teacher, Lisa, and you know it.
Oh, so but impatient. He gave me my math phobia. He would yell. Because he's really, really smart. He's like, why don't you get this? And I'm like, I'm six. I don't get it.
I can't get complex math or quantum theory. I'm only 6 years old.
But that would be the worst of it.
The method was, if you don't get it the first time, then I'll just repeat it louder. But
boy, you're from that old school, aren't you?
Absolutely. And I think what's changed is there's much more opportunity these days for fathers to be involved, even from the time of the birthing experience. Because when my kids were born, it was in the hospital, anesthesia, father's out. And even though I was a physician there, they didn't let me in the delivery room.
Are you serious? You couldn't even get in the living room?
That's right.
That's strange. Okay, go ahead.
Well, remember, this is Lisa's my baby, and I won't tell how old she is, but she's mature.
Fine. I was born in 67. That's fine.
Yeah, you're a child. Please. We're talking about people like us that were born many years before. Go ahead, Michael. Stop interrupting, child. Forgive me, Michael. I have to grab her every now and then. Go ahead, Mike.
I think there's much more awareness in the media, in the what you see on television to involve fathers and families. But what is terribly disturbing is, in my opinion, either the media is leading the culture, or it's keeping up with the culture, but there's such a distortion of family values. And I'm not talking about right-wing family values. I'm talking about decency, lack of the tremendous increase of promiscuity. If you look today and you see what's happening in junior high school, sex is a recreational thing. It's not there's no more mystery or secret to things anymore. We're living too fast.
Yeah, I can totally agree with that. Michael, but tell me, now you talk about the progression, and you talk about being a progressive thinker. Lisa mentioned earlier that you were one of the first people, you had to be in this country, because back at that time, I didn't even know of anybody doing anything like that, to talk about giving fathers leave to be there when their children were born from work. What made you think of that?
Well, it was a question of equality. If I didn't think that mothers shouldn't, and since mothers were getting it, fathers were parents too, they should have the same rights. It's the biggest controversy occurred, interestingly enough, when I was looking through the policies of our school, and it gave non-Christian teachers and personnel an extra 2 days off during the year because Christians got Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was terrible. That why should they get something because they're not Christian, which seemed to me just as discriminatory and opens the door for the reverse. So I was a very unpopular person in my temple.
Man, the stuff comes out. Boy, I can imagine. Boy, they must have looked at it. Who is this guy who's our administrator? Why do we hire him? But
oh, you did not know. I was elected. I was elected by the public.
That's right. No, we got to have a reach out. I can hear that now. We want to reach out on this guy. Something is wrong here. Michael, listen, you raised a wonderful daughter. I have not had the privilege of meeting your other children, but I want to thank you for just being a dad, because it's so very important. And as you said, whether they're faults or things that you look back on and feel whether maybe I could have done this better or I could have done that better. And, you know, my condolences over your first wife, Lisa's mom, who's no longer with us. But more than anything, when I sit here and I look at her, I realize you did a pretty good job.
Well, thank you. I'll throw one thing. When we were having some difficulties with one of our children, my wife said to him,
bailed you out.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
When he was in his 20s, she said, look, you can bellyache as much as you want. We did not get up every morning saying, how can we screw up your life today? We did the best we could at the time, so live with it. And he's turned out to be a real mensch.
I hear you. Michael, thank you so much for your time. God
love
bless you.
Love you, Dad. Bye.
Happy Father.